the Bible. It's the Word of God, sharper than any two-edged sword. This sacred book is living and active and contains all that's needed for life and godliness. Stay with American Family Radio for the next hour as we study God's Word and take your Bible questions. Welcome to Exploring the Word.
Well, good afternoon and welcome to Exploring the Word. This is going to kind of be a pop-around week, if you will, because we had Tim Todd on yesterday, and then I'm on today for Bert, and then I think I'm on day after tomorrow for Alex, and then on Friday we're going to kind of have a round table where we're going to take some of the Bible questions that have come in to word@afr.net and to our Facebook page. That being said, I'm Jim Stanley sitting in for Bert Harper today, and with me is my good friend Dr. Alex McFarland.
Hello, hello, my friend. And that was a good summary of the week. And I'll be on the road Thursday and Friday down in Florida, but we will be doing the show every day. And isn't it a blessing that we can do Exploring the Word, where in the midst of a turbulent world, a sometimes dangerous world, we have the solid rock of Scripture, which points us to the risen Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen. That is a fact, sir. And this afternoon, we're in the book of Luke, and we're going to pick up in the 11th chapter at verse 5. And so, Alex, now, I know yesterday we talked about Tim Todd, and you guys had him on for the hour, which I'm incredibly grateful for. But, folks, the reason they did that is because this is National Truth for Youth Bible Week. And now, I had the opportunity to meet just a few minutes with Tim earlier today, and we both came to a very salient point, if you will, and it's true for Share-a-thon, just like it is for Bible Study Week. It's amazing when we give out the phone number, people call for those free Bibles. And just as surely during Share-a-thon, when we give out the number, people are gracious to call with their donations to AFA and AFR. So let me do that. Let me tell you two ways to order this Bible. And one is visit truthforyouth.com. truthforyouth.com, or between 8 a.m. and 4:30 p.m. Central Time, you can call 800-733-4737. That's 800-733-4737. And that is, of course, for the Truth for Youth Bible. And by the way, that's also now available in Spanish. This year, our goal is to put 60,000 Bibles into the hands of teenagers. And Alex, if we do that, then what we're going to be able to do is cross the 1 million Bible threshold for all the Bibles that we've given away with Truth for Youth over the past 17 years. And Amen. That is incredible.
That is really wonderful. What a blessing. What a blessing that is. And so you said that phone number was 800-733-4737.
Yes, sir, that's correct.
Now, Jim, am I right? $3 puts a Bible in the hands of a young person, right?
Yes, sir, I believe so. And now that the Bible itself, the first Bible, or the second, third, fourth, fifth Bible for every student in the household that's between 13 and 18 who will promise to pass it along to a friend in school, that Bible's absolutely free to those young people.
Wow.
And
wow.
Then if a youth director, for example, wants to buy the Bible, or if another parent wants to supply more Bibles than just the ones that they get for free, then yes, they can bulk order those from truthforyouth.com, truthforyouth.com. And Alex, if I'm not badly mistaken, I'm pretty sure that $3 also includes the shipping and handling.
Wow.
For that Bible. And so that's incredible. But first and foremost, the 60,000 Bibles have already been paid for. In fact, they're already at Truth for Youth, Revival Fires Ministries. They're already there because Tim sent us some pictures last week of them unloading the truck. So not only is Tim Todd an evangelist, not only is he a radio host, not only is he just an overall good guy, but he's also a laborer. Not
he
just
really
in the
is.
Fields, but literally unloading the cases and cases of Bibles.
Amen. That is such a blessing. That is such a blessing. Well, we love the Truth for Youth Bibles. And Jim, I don't know if you heard yesterday, but when I was down in Virginia speaking at a public school in the spring, I was at a high school, and I saw a teen with a Truth for Youth Bible. And I said, hey, we know those people. That's great. Amen. So they really are. I can vouch that, yes, they are getting into the hands of young people, and the Word of God is getting into, yes, public schools.
Well, it is. And not only that, as the gospel message through the Scripture is being delivered, young people are coming to Christ. And as Tim and I were talking earlier, that is probably the greatest blessing of all, to know that out of the 1 million Bibles that we will have given away, faith-believing, and what we're going to do this week, out of that, there have been hundreds of thousands of people give their life to Christ. And he has tens of thousands of index cards where people tear them off from inside, put a stamp on them, and then send them back in to Revival Fires for a testimony that they've come to know Christ as Savior. Now, Alex, we're not talking about going to a website and just clicking, yes, I received the Bible, yes, I received Christ. We're talking about a young person tearing that card out, filling it out with an ink pen, and then putting a stamp on it and sending it in. So it's just a blessing to have been part of this ministry for so long. And the Bibles are incredible. We're not on Facebook Live, so I won't hold up one for you to see. But it is a New Testament, and it's excellent.
Very appealing design on the cover and everything.
It is, and it has some graphic comic, quality, I guess, is what I'm trying to say. Graphic novel quality on the comics that are inside. And so they've all got a very strong, strong message. Again, that's truthforyouth.com or 800-733-4737 between 8 and 4:30. And we'll give you that number again here in just a little bit. But Alex, what say we get started in the 11th chapter of the book of Luke at verse 5?
Amen. Amen. And we went into this a little bit yesterday, but we spent the bulk of our time talking about the Lord's Prayer. And then he goes on in Luke 11, Jesus said to them, which of you shall have a friend and shall say, go to him at midnight and say unto him, friend, lend me 3 loaves of bread. For a friend of mine is on a journey and has come to me, and I have nothing to set before him. And he from within the house shall answer and say, don't bother me. The door is now shut. My children are asleep in bed. I will not rise and give to you. Now, Jesus is making the point that, listen, if an earthly friend knows how to do right by somebody that they care about, how much more so the Heavenly Father? And, you know, Jim, this kind of reminds me of Luke 18, where the, you know, persistent woman appeals to the judge, and mm-hmm. he does right. And the verse that I want to really hone in on for just a minute, because this is so relevant to all of us. This is about prayer. And folks, you know, there's different kinds of prayer. There's confession, and there's petition, where we ask, and there's praise, we worship the Lord. But in verse 9 of Luke 11, here's what the Lord says. And I say to you, ask, and it shall be given you. Seek, and you shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Jim, I look at these verbs in there. Ask, seek, knock, find, open. That tells me prayer is a living, vital, life-changing opportunity for the believer, isn't it?
It absolutely is. And the proaction of the verse, and it will, follows each of those. And it will, and you will, and it will be. You know, when you see that. Now, Alex, I want to take a moment here and just kind of clarify, and I want you to jump in on this. This is not talking about asking for a new Cadillac and getting a new Cadillac. This is not asking for $1 million bank account and getting $1 million bank account. This is talking about asking and seeking to follow the Lord's will and in the Lord's will, and that we see these things that can happen. Now, that's not to say that someone wants to bless someone with that kind of money, and they do that, and we've seen God do that. You know, you and I both know businessmen that tithe 90% of their business account, yeah, and live on the 10%. Because, you can't outgive God, we understand that. But they live by the principles of doing things soundly. And so that's why I want to make sure that, that folks understand this isn't the name it, claim it theology that we're teaching here, but we are saying that if you ask in faith believing, then it will be given and according to the will of God. Is that correct?
It is. It is. And you know what I found, and I've been a Christian, you know, 33 years now. We often think things we want. And Jim, I'm just going to tell you, when I was 17, 18, I wanted a Ford Mustang.
Amen.
I wanted a Gibson guitar. You know, the wants I had, the will I had for my life at that point was very materialistic. And it was just, you know, stuff that I thought would make me happy. But what I've learned is the will of God for your life is everything you would have really dreamed of if you had been wise enough to know it, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Now, 1 Thessalonians 4:3 says, this is the will of God for you, your sanctification, and that you should abstain from sexual immorality. So the primary, the will of God for the believer, and I'm talking about people that are born again. Number one, the will of God is that you be more and more conformed to the image of Jesus. That's called sanctification, being just increasingly set apart and surrendered to the lordship of Jesus. But, you know, Matthew 6:33 says, seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these other things will be added. Psalm 37:4 says, commit your way to the Lord. He'll give you the desires of your heart. Jim, what I have found is in the Luke 11:9, asking, seeking, knocking. First of all, I think the Lord wants the believer to be growing, 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 more and more like Jesus every day.
Amen.
And then I think the Lord wants the believer to be fruitful in terms of the Great Commission, because we all have a role to play in the Great Commission. But I have found that God is abundant, and you're right, Jim, you cannot outgive God. And if you'll put Jesus first, all these other things he'll look after. He really will. I don't mean to get us off topic, but I'm living testimony. I'm telling you, 25 years ago when I finished at Liberty University, I left Lynchburg, Virginia with $58 and the shirt on my back, literally. And I mean, we were from a farm in North Carolina. I mean, goodness, all we knew how to do was lose money. We came up pretty hard. And, you know, I'm here to tell you, in 25 years, God is so faithful. If you put Jesus first, he will have your back. And I bet I could get a big amen from everybody listening.
Amen. And, you know, Brother Don shares some of the same stories in the early development of the ministry of American Family Association. You know, there would be something coming due that he just absolutely did not have the money for. And then someone would send in a phone call and said, hey, I sent you a check. Be sure and look in your mailbox. And this was not something, you know, radio wasn't around. Our radio network wasn't around back then. So this wasn't something that he had gotten on the radio and asked for. But because of the will of God and what God had Brother Don doing for this ministry, then he would walk out to the mailbox, and as he would say, sure enough, there in the mailbox was a check to the exact penny of the need that he needed to make, whatever payment
Amen.
It was. And we've seen God's faithfulness throughout this ministry, and I think part of that is because of the faithfulness of Don Wildman, Tim Wildman, and now Walker and Wesley as well, and Riley. This is Exploring the Word here on American Family Radio. We're in Luke, the 11th chapter, and we'll be back right after this.
It's Truth for Youth Bible Week.
And I woke up one morning and I told myself that if nobody told me that they loved me that day, then I was just going to kill myself. That day at school, a girl that I didn't know came rushing over to my locker, and she handed me a Truth for Youth Bible, and she said, hey, Jesus loves you. You should read this.
American Family Radio and Revival Fires International are partnering to give God's Word to our nation's youth. Parents, order a free Truth for Youth Bible for your teen to pass on to a friend. Or teens, you can order a Bible for a friend. Visit truthforyouth.com or call 800-733-4737 between 8 and 4:30 Central Time. That's 800-733-4737. One free Bible will be given to each young person who promises to pass it on to a friend.
And there was a page in Truth for Youth that showed me how to give my heart to Jesus. I just prayed and Jesus forgave me of my sins.
Call 800-733-4737 or visit truthforyouth.com.
Dr. Tony Evans says it's hard wrapping our finite brains around an infinite God. And there's a good reason why. We'll find out more as we spend 2 minutes with Tony.
When you look at a parade, you see it in parts. You see this band, that band, this band, that. What you don't see is the band around the corner because it hadn't turned the corner yet. Because our sight is limited. Of course, if you're in an airplane or you're in a Goodyear blimp, you can see the whole parade because you're looking high, looking down low. See, where you're situated determines what you see. If you look through a keyhole into a room, you don't see the whole room. You just see things passing by the keyhole because your sight line is so limited. God has been here forever. We ain't been here 5 minutes. And we trying to define God, trying to define life, trying to define meaning. We ain't been here that long. You make it to 60, 70, 80, maybe 90 years old, boom. And then you out of here and you talking about trying to define an eternal being? No, you only can define what he lets you see. And Deuteronomy 29:29 says he don't let you see everything. There are secret things that belong to God that he will not let you see. In fact, the reason why you who have accepted Jesus Christ are going to live forever is that it's going to take forever to understand God. There is no limit to his existence. But it goes even deeper. I am that I am. God is self-existent and self-sufficient.
There's more to the Lord than we can ever learn on earth. But you can make a good start with the help of Tony's CD series, Understanding God, available online at tonyevans.org. Then join us next time for 2 Minutes with Tony.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio.
We believe in the Holy Spirit, and He's given us new life. We believe in the crucifixion. We believe that He conquered death.
Good afternoon and welcome back. I'm Jim Stanley in for Brother Bert Harper today alongside Dr. Alex McFarland. And Alex, I failed to ask like I normally do, are you at home and where will you be later this week?
Well, God bless you. Yes, I am at home right now in North Carolina, but I leave Thursday morning for a big youth conference in Miami called the Tribe Conference. And there's a website, tribe-conference.com. It's in Miami. It's a big conference for teenagers, and I'll be down there speaking on apologetics, biblical worldview, and how to stand strong for your faith in school, at college, and the common objections and issues that kids are dealing with. And so I'll be there Thursday night through Sunday, and so appreciate everybody's prayers.
Amen. Well, and folks, if you want to bring Alex to your community, that's easily done. Visit alexmcfarland.com, alexmcfarland.com. And also, if you're looking for resources for your church library, let me also again refer you to alexmcfarland.com. And there you can find some of Alex's books that he's written over the years and some other study materials as well. And it would be well worth the investment for you to add that to your church library.
Jim.
So thus endeth that promo. And he didn't pay me anything to say that.
You are so kind. You are so kind. Hey, I have a testimony, and boy, is it a testimony. I got to lead a man to the Lord this morning.
Amen.
Praise God. There's a neighbor lives down the road. He's a Vietnam veteran and just a dear, dear man. And I've shared the gospel with him many times. And today I was rushing around doing some things, frankly, getting ready for this youth trip. And there was a knock on the door, and I just felt like the Lord was in this. And I got to lead this man to Christ this morning, and I just give God the glory. I feel like I'm 3 inches off the ground, Jim. And I've prayed for him. And we were talking before the break about asking and seeking and knocking. And it says you will find, in verse 10 says, everyone who asks receives, and he that seeks finds, and to him that knocks it shall be open. You know, James 4 verse 2 says, and this is talking to believers about our prayer life, it says you have not because you ask not. And I give God the glory that, you know, I had really prayed for this neighbor because he's, you know, got some health issues, and praise God, got to share the gospel. And today the man prayed with me and asked Jesus into his heart. And I mean, his just whole countenance looked different. He had the biggest smile on his face. But Jim, for spiritual breakthroughs, for prodigals reclaimed, for neighbors evangelized, I think prayer is much more of a factor than oftentimes we think about. And I guess if there's anything we would challenge our dear audience to do is to make prayer a priority. Because right here, the Lord is promising, hey, I'm ready to open, I'm ready to give, I'm ready for you to seek and find. But the prayers can't be answered unless they're prayed, can they?
They sure can. And in the Amplified Bible, there where we are at Luke, the 11th chapter, verses 9 through 13, verse 9 says, so I say to you, ask and keep on asking, and it will be given to you. Seek and keep on seeking, and you will find it. Knock and keep on knocking, and the door will be open to you. And the reason I wanted to go back and pull it up from the Amplified is because you said that today wasn't the first day that you've talked to your friend about salvation and about the Lord. So you've been doing exactly that. You've been knocking on his heart's door, and you've kept on knocking. Now, obviously, we know that the Holy Spirit played a huge part in this, but just as surely as we go and we look here in verse 13, it says, if you then being evil, that is sinful by nature, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to those who ask and continue to ask him? And so by the Spirit today, everything came together for you to lead that man to the Lord. But you kept on knocking until a result came.
You know, I think about 1 Corinthians 3, 5 through 8, where Paul said, you know, one sows, one waters, but God gives the increase. You know, I sowed a seed, Apollos watered it, God gave the increase. And, you know, in being a witness, you know, some days you're the one who maybe just, people know about the gospel, maybe they're thinking about the Lord, but and you just give a smile and a word of encouragement, or you share a verse, or you just, God works through you to water that seed. And we know the seed of truth blossoming in the heart of a person, and then salvation. I mean, it's all the work of the Holy Spirit. None of us could save anybody. We're just the messenger boy.
That's right.
But more than ever, I think this thing, we need to take it very seriously. And Jim, it's an adventure. Oh my goodness. Folks, if you've never been able to see a person saved, led somebody to Christ, I'm telling you, it's like the greatest thing in the world to know that the Lord would use you to help somebody find Jesus. And more than ever, our nation surely needs the gospel. But here's Jesus doing good. And in verse 14, it says, Jesus was casting out a devil, and it was dumb or mute. And it came to pass when the devil was gone out that the man that was dumb or mute spoke, and the people wondered. And some said, he, Jesus, casts out devils through Beelzebub, the chief of devils. And others, tempting him, sought a sign from heaven. Now, here's something that we get the question, Jim. People ask, what is the unforgivable sin or the unpardonable sin? And we've talked to a lot of people. I've talked to Erwin Lutzer about this. I've talked to a number of folks. And part of the grievous unbelief on the part of the folks here was that here's Jesus, the Son of God, in person. He fulfilled all the prophecies. He validated and confirmed every criteria for messiahship, and they knew it. And yet, he's doing the work of God. And Jim, it makes my skin crawl to even say it, but they were attributing the work of God to Satan.
Right.
And that is a level of unbelief, rejection, and willful blindness that was just inexcusable.
Well, it was, and it's certainly something, you know, even as you said in reading the scripture here, sometimes that just seems, man, I'm even worried about reading that, because the people there, you know, it said that they marveled and that they were amazed. And then some of them said that he cast out demons by Beelzebub, and others testing and sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, and I want to stop right there before we get into that.
Good
others
point.
Testing him, sought from him a sign from heaven. But he, Jesus, knowing their thoughts, when we talk about fully and truly God and fully and truly man, that phrase right there backs that up 100%.
Sure.
Because while he was man, while he was the second Adam, he was still God. But he, knowing their thoughts, said to them, every kingdom divided against itself is brought to desolation, and a house divided against a house falls. So Jesus, while he laid aside all of his glory and he laid aside these different things, he really was truly and properly God and truly and properly man, wasn't he?
Absolutely. You know, the addition of perfect humanity did not diminish or eradicate his deity. He was fully God, fully man, but not fallen man. Mm-hmm. And that's why he is quite literally the most unique person in all of history, God incarnate. And so clearly he wasn't casting out Satan by the power of Satan. I mean, that would be just illogical and schizophrenic. And he says this in verse 20, but if I with the finger of God cast out devils, no doubt the kingdom of God has come to you.
Mm,
and so
amen.
What he was doing in the power of God because he was God incarnate. So this is humongous in Luke 11:20, that the kingdom of God has come to them. And it goes on in 21 through 23, when a strong man armed keeps his palace, the goods are in peace. In other words, if the strong man is there, there's no danger. But when a stronger one than he comes along and overcomes him, and he takes from him all that his armor and the things he's trusted and divides the spoils, the stronger one is the more powerful one.
Mm-hmm.
He that is not with me is against me. He that gathers not with me scatters. Now, here's the thing, as I understand it, Jim, and much has been written about this. The strong man who temporarily had control of things was Satan, the prince of this world. But there's one stronger than the strong man, and that's God. And the kingdom of God coming into this world is that Revelation 11. All that's in this world, it might temporarily appear to be under the control of Satan,
mm-hmm.
but Jesus is coming, and he is the king, not will be. Jesus, present tense, is the king, and this world will be brought under his reign and his loving kingship and taken away from the current grip of the evil one. People ask this question. We had this on the road over the weekend. Somebody said, you know, if God is God, why is the world like it is? I said, because of sin.
Mm-hmm.
And just be patient. God is in control despite appearances. God is in control, and his kingship will one day reign from sea to sea.
It sure will. Now, when we get to verse 24 there, this is something that I think we have to look at, and we have to look at it in such a way that if we as modern-day Christians, we can still cast out demons, because there are demons to be cast out. And so what we need to do, though, is that we need to make sure that if a spirit has been cast out, then the place has been refurbished or made brand new, in essence, because of the indwelling of the Holy Spirit. And that's incredibly important, because I think Jesus gives us a warning here about that. When an unclean spirit goes out of a man, he goes through dry places seeking rest, and finding none, he says, I will return to my house from which I came. And when he comes, he find it swept and put in order. Then he goes and takes with him seven other spirits more wicked than himself, and they enter and dwell there. And the last state of that man is worse than the first. But, Alex, that goes back to what you said just a moment ago about the house divided, and that if Jesus had been acting, you know, through the power of Satan, then that would have been naught. That would have been crazy. And so now we see that not only does the house need to be swept and clean and put in order, but it also needs to be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit and the new life in Christ, doesn't it?
Well, absolutely, absolutely. And, you know, very famously, Abraham Lincoln gave the speech where he said, "A house divided against itself cannot stand," which is a reference to Luke 11:18. You know, that's one of the reasons that we need the Word of God in school. I mean, there's so many things about our culture that are biblically tied if people knew about it. But you're right. You remember there's some, and I'm glad you brought this out, that yes, there are demons to be cast out. Now, I want to say this with, you know, kind of a clarity, because I don't want people to be morbidly fearful. If you're in Christ, you are secure in Christ, John 10:28. But friends, Satan is real. The fallen angel Lucifer, now Satan, is real. There are demons in this world. And, you know, Satan has two plans. Number one, that you live and die without Jesus. But you say, "Well, I'm saved, I'm a believer." Well, Satan has plan B, and he'll try to discourage you and steal your joy and wreck your testimony and lure you away from the joy and the fruitfulness of walking with Jesus. But we are victorious in Christ. Now, verse 29, the people had wanted a sign. You remember this in verse 16?
Right.
They were tempting him. They want a sign from heaven. And Jesus said, "This is an evil generation that seeks after a sign. There will be no sign given but the sign of Jonah, the prophet." And now this is a reference to the fact, 30 through 32, here's the sign. If you want to know that God is real, know this, that Jesus rose from the dead. The comedian, film director, actor, I can't think of his name right now, but years ago, he interviewed Billy Graham many years ago, Woody Allen. Do you remember that name, Jim?
Yes, sir.
And Billy Graham asked Woody Allen, what would it take for you to believe God is real? And Woody Allen said, "A miracle." And Billy Graham said, "What kind of miracle?" And Woody Allen kind of sarcastically said, "Well, how about a large sum of money deposited in a Swiss bank account?" And, you know, that got a laugh. But really, those that demand a sign, the sign that Jesus is the one and only Savior, the irrefutable, compelling proof of the reality of Jesus, is like the sign of Jonah. Just as Jonah was 3 days and nights in the belly of the whale, so the Son of Man was 3 days and nights in the heart of the earth. And the sign of the Son of Man, verse 30, is that he rose from the dead.
Amen. And that is the ongoing sign, too. Let me say that when folks are talking about needing to know, man, we have the opportunity to look back more than 2,000 years and see how Christianity has shaped and shaped our world, if you will. Now, there's been lots of folks to contest that. Of course, there's millions of Islams, and we understand that, Muslims, that believe the teaching of Islam. And then we have, of course, folks that still follow Buddha. We have folks that still follow Hindu. And so we have those competitors out there. But one thing that they cannot stand against is the truth that's found in the Word of God. Amen. And I want to remind folks that this is our Truth for Youth Bible Week. You can get yours by calling 800-733-4737. Stick around. More Exploring the Words. The phone open right after this.
Because they exchanged the truth about God for a lie. My name is Abraham Hamilton III, and this is the Hamilton Minute. CNN fact-checked the assertion that expanding background checks would have prevented the shootings in Ohio and Texas. Even CNN admitted there is no indication that the shooting in Dayton, Ohio, would have been prevented by proposed universal background checks or legislation to bolster the federal background check system. The alleged El Paso shooter purchased his firearm legally, and there is no evidence that he had a criminal history that a background check would have caught. The National Institute for Justice study concluded Bill Clinton's 1994 so-called assault weapons ban did not reduce firearms-related violence. The gun grabber's goal is total control.
Listen each weekday from 5 to 6 p.m. Central for the Hamilton Corner with Abraham Hamilton III, public policy analyst for the American Family Association.
The loss of a child through abortion, miscarriage, or stillbirth affects the emotional health of families. Feelings of anger, sadness, and regret can be overwhelming. There is hope and healing in the aftermath of a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline at 866-482-LIFE to talk with someone who has been where you are and healed to help others. Your call is confidential. 866-482-LIFE.
Hello, I'm Gary Roby, host of Call to Worship, heard each Sunday on American Family Radio. This one-hour program will lead you in a special time of worship and praise. We will focus on God's Word, spoken, and in music. Call to Worship has a different topic each week as we glorify God together. Be sure to join us at 5 a.m. Central each Sunday for a Call to Worship right here on American Family Radio.
A small pocket Bible carried by Francis Merrifield, an American soldier in the Battle of Bunker Hill, survived the most iconic battle of the Revolutionary War. Of 400 American troops killed or wounded, he was one of the last to leave the field of battle.
Writing extensively on the inside covers of the Bible, thanking God for his survival, on the back of the New Testament title page, he wrote, Cambridge, June 17, 1775. I desire to bless God in sparing my life in the late battle fought on Bunker's Hill.
On display at the Museum of the American Revolution in Philadelphia, the Bible and its inscription showcases what the museum considers the role religious faith played in sustaining those involved in the American Revolution.
Engage with the Bible in the stories surrounding this book of all books.
Brought to you by Museum of the Bible.
Welcome back to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. If you got pain, he's a pain taker. If you feel lost, he's a way maker. If you need freedom, save it. He's a prison shaking savior. If you got chains, he's a chain.
That's our friend Zach Williams. The song is called Chainbreaker. You're listening to Exploring the Word on American Family Radio. I'm Jim Stanley in for Brother Bert Harper today, and along with me is Dr. Alex McFarland, and we're going to take your phone calls at 888-589-8840, 888-589-8840. Before we put the finishing wraps on the study for today, I did want to go back and mention that one free Truth for Youth Bible will be given to every student between the ages of 13 and 18, with the promise that they'll pass that along to a friend in school. So you want to talk about a great evangelistic tool? You don't know how to break the ice to talk to somebody about God. You don't know how to break the ice and talk to somebody about Christ. You hand them this Truth for Youth Bible. You encourage them to read the book of John. And I know that Alex also has a couple of favorite passages that he would tell new believers or non-believers to read so they'd find out more about Christ. And so this is a great way to do that, but I wanted to make sure that we were clear. The Bible's absolutely free if you're between 13 and 18 and you promise to pass it along to a friend. Now, if you want more, if you have a youth group or whatnot that you want to get some Bibles for, then you can do that also at truthforyouth.com, truthforyouth.com. And Alex, we were wrong there. The actual cost of the Bible is $2.
Wow, and what a bargain!
Yeah, not three, but two. And so I wanted to make sure that we were clear of that. Was there anything you needed to put a wrap on there in Luke 11 before we stop for the day?
Sure. In verse 32, you know, it's talking about the men of Nineveh would rise up in judgment with this generation and condemn it, for they repented at the preaching of Jonah, and behold, a greater one than Jonah is here. There's accountability with revelation. Let me say that again. When God has revealed himself, there is accountability. And just as, you know, the people of Nineveh that needed repentance, and they did have revival under Jonah, they would have condemned the generation contemporary with Jesus that didn't believe. Because, I mean, goodness, if Jonah was a good preacher, how much more clear was the message with Christ right there in front of you? I'll say this, we're going to get to the calls. America has a lot of accountability. I mean, it would be a terrible thing to be in this world and be lost, but it would be really bad to go to hell from the USA. There's a lot of accountability, a church on almost every corner, great Christian broadcasting, a Gideon Bible in most hotel rooms. And so, friend, don't leave this world accountable knowing that you had 5,000 chances to turn to Jesus. We're giving you one more encouragement. Turn to Jesus, because we are responsible with what we did with the truth that we had.
Amen. That's a good word there. By the way, if you are looking for information on how to come to Christ and know Christ, let me encourage you to call 888-NEED-HIM. That's 888-NEED-HIM. And there are people that are there that are waiting to talk to you about how you can come to know Christ. Jamie calling from North Carolina this afternoon. Jamie, good afternoon, and welcome to Exploring the Word. Hello, Jamie.
Hello. Good evening, Dr. Alex. I have a question for you, sir.
Yes, I'll do my best.
Would you please expound on in Isaiah 57:1, the Holy Word saith, the righteous perisheth. The word perisheth, perish, is the word I want to please expound on, because in John 3:16, it says that those who accept Christ shall not perish. And I was hoping you would please explain the difference in you know, Greek and Hebrew, those, the word perisheth in one, and then perisheth in the other scripture, please.
Oh, God bless you. Thanks for asking. Well, as I understand the context here, you know, it's talking about Israel, that, you know, they had fallen away. Let's go all the way back to 55. And I love Isaiah 55, 1 through 7. Why do you labor for that which is not bread, and come to the water, and you who are thirsty, you know, drink the water of life, seek the Lord while he may be found. And it goes on and it talks about Israel, that they'd fallen away, they were outcast, and it says, my house will be called a house of prayer for all people in verse 7. But here, then, the transition of 56 to 57, greedy dogs that never have enough, shepherds that do not understand. And when it begins in verse 1 of 57, it says, the righteous perish, and no man lays it to heart. And merciful men are taken away, none considering that the righteous is taken away from the evil to come. All right, there's a lot in this one verse, Isaiah 57. It doesn't mean spiritually perish like go to hell. Righteous people don't go to hell. Those that are made righteous through a relationship to God go to heaven. But it does mean that righteous people die, and nobody hardly cares. The greedy dogs and the evil scheming people that are full of sin, you know, I think about this. You know, Billy Graham died February of 2018, and the news, I mean, there was some coverage, but here's one of the greatest Christians in history, and the profane TV offerings rolled on, and, you know, there were some things on blog sites that were just horrible. But here's the thing. The righteous man is actually blessed in being taken away from the evil to come. See, the fallen, sinful world, you know, when a Billy Graham dies or some great saint of God, the world doesn't even notice, hardly. But what a fallen world doesn't realize is, in leaving this world and going to be with Christ and being delivered from sin, that was actually really a blessing, because in verse 2 it says, he enters into peace. And I went too long on this answer, but Jim, let me just say this. That's why there's this old saying that in salvation we're saved from sin. In sanctification, we're we're brought apart from the power of sin. One day we're going to be delivered from the very presence of sin, aren't we, Jim?
Yeah, we are, and that's a day to look forward to. You know, when you were reading that from Isaiah 57 and the illustration that you gave of Billy Graham, I think of modern-day Christians in Sudan and how they're persecuted. And when I mean persecuted, I'm not talking about their civil rights being infringed upon. I'm talking about people dying for the cross today. And then, of course, we remember a few years ago the Coptic Christians who were being beheaded and crushed for their belief. And so the world doesn't get real upset about that. But if you have someone that is being, you know, that kind of persecution, suffering that kind of persecution, it's hard to get that kind, you know, it's hard to get that story covered. But, know, if one person that's living an alternative lifestyle is chastised for living that lifestyle, then it becomes a matter for Congress to try and pass a hate bill when there's no hate involved. And so I want to be clear that the persecution is coming to America. Yeah. It's not here yet. Inconvenience is here. But actual persecution isn't here. When we see Christians in America being beheaded and martyred because of their faith in Christ, then we'll understand more about what the Scripture means and just exactly what you said. And I don't do that to scare anyone. I don't say that to scare anyone. That's not my job. But it's one of those things that we have to be careful that people know what true persecution is, don't we?
We do. You know, folks, the number is 888-589-8840. Jim, let me just say this. In the year 2000, so this was before 9/11, I was at a conference with Franklin Graham, and he showed some footage. Samaritan's Purse was ministering to some people, and I believe it was in Ethiopia. But now think about this. 800,000, that's nearly a million people, 800,000 Christians had been killed in a very short time period. I forget the exact time, but I think it was like less than a year. I mean, it was just one of the greatest acts of genocide in ages. And do you know what? Franklin Graham said they had shared this footage with all the major networks, and because they were saying, while you're talking about a human rights issue, what about the rights of Christians in Islamic lands? And no network would cover it.
Right.
And that was even before 9/11. You know, since 9/11, Islam has been, I would say, coddled by much of the secular media. But you know, it's right. The righteous die, and a fallen world barely cares or takes notice. But God, our Savior, notices.
Amen. He sure does. Let's talk to Luke from Virginia. Luke, good afternoon, and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hey, fellas, I really enjoy the show. Thanks so much for the good information. I listen whenever I can.
Bless you.
Just call in to ask what version of the Bible the Truth for Youth Bible is, and then I can take that over the radio.
Okay, thanks for the call, Luke. That's a great question, and we've had people ask that from time to time. It is in a modern version, if you will. It's based on God's Word, and the copyright was 1995. And it's the trademark of God's Word to the Nations Bible Society. And so it is a unique translation of God's Word, but I can assure you that the emphasis is on Christ and salvation, and it is not one that leaves stuff out or rewrites stuff. It is absolutely a trusted translation of the Word, and we have been using this for 17, 18 years now. So I hope that helps with that answer. Alex, comments?
You know, that's a good translation. It is, you know, one of the modern language ones. So as much as I love the King James, and I know we have a lot of people that read the King James maybe exclusively, and I love it too. I've got one in my hand right here. But the King James is not the only version in which the Bible can be rendered in English. And there are a lot of good ones to a lot of good ones to choose from. And I think the one that Brother Tim Todd and his ministry has used is really good. And youth do read it.
Yeah, they do. And again, in the hopes of them reading it, passing it along, is so that they will come to know the Christ of the New Testament. Well, let's talk to Marty calling from Mississippi. Marty, good afternoon, and welcome to Exploring the Word.
Hello?
Hey, Marty.
Oh, hey, guys. Hey, real quick, I was just wondering, I'm doing a study on the church being the bride of Christ, and I have some questions. What are your views concerning the church being the bride of Christ? Are we actually the bride of Jesus, or does he present the bride to the Father? And when does that take place? And does it happen kind of like a Galilean wedding was done and performed in Christ's day?
Marty, those are great questions, and I know that we are referred to as the body and bride of Christ, and we see a lot of that language throughout the New Testament. And Alex, I know that this is a great study of yours that you enjoy as well. Break that down for us a little bit. What does it mean to be this bride of Christ?
Wow, that is a great question. I'm not sure we've ever had that question, so thank you for asking it. Yeah, you know, in a number of scriptures like Ephesians 5 and 2 Corinthians 11 and Revelation 19, the church is referred to as the bride, Jesus, the bridegroom, presenting the bride without spot or blemish. And, you know, obviously it's not a marriage like a husband and wife here on earth. Although I do think one of the reasons that we so passionately defend the Bible and God's design for the family and we defend marriage is because a husband, wife, children, a family unit here on earth and marriage as God designed it is really a picture of the gospel. You know, Bert and I very frequently say that the family is kind of like a gospel tract. But the imagery of the bridegroom and the bride and the wedding ceremony and the espousal and from the engagement to the consummation, that was a symbol or an image that people in the Middle East would have vividly understood. And, you know, they would get ready for the ceremony and they would wait and the bridegroom would come to get the bride. And that's just very pictorial, Jim, I believe, of the return of Christ. We're engaged. You want to get engaged to Jesus, and you want to get committed. Turn to Christ and be born again. And the marriage, it's a present tense reality. However, when the bridegroom comes to receive the bride, there's the consummation, and what a joyful thing that was. And so I think part of the reason that these terms are used, Jesus the Savior, the bridegroom like a husband, the bride like the church, I think it was because it was such a vivid, vivid picture of the gospel and the salvation transaction, Jim.
Amen. Good stuff. Let's see if we can get one more call in this afternoon, and let's talk to... Pardon me, I'm sorry, Daniel calling from Louisiana. I lost my track there for just a moment. Hi. Daniel, got to be quick,
hi,
brother.
Hi, gentlemen. I have a follow-up on a question I asked why God told Elijah to anoint Hazael, and I looked it up in the study Bible. It said he was going to use him, Syria, to judge Israel. My question about Isaiah 9:7, why it's talking about Jesus, why it says he will be called a Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. But I kind of, God was like helping me understand when I was listening that, you know, Jesus said, if you see me, you've seen the Father. So I'll let you comment on that.
Okay, so I think the question was what it means to be the Eternal Father. And as he alluded to, that Jesus said, when you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Alex, basically that just talks about God being the Alpha and Omega, doesn't it?
It really does. I think that Isaiah 9:6, and we could parse out each one of those words maybe when we have more time, but it does talk about that Jesus, our Savior, who is God incarnate, is the end-all, be-all, summation, the pinnacle of all things.
Amen. Well, that's going to do it for today's edition of Exploring the Word here on American Family Radio. Don't forget, you can get your Truth for Youth Bible by phone at 800-733-4737 or online at truthforyouth.com. Have a great afternoon.